Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. The United Auto Workers Union, or UAW, are beginning negotiations soon. UPS and Teamsters recently started their negotiations, and this is a contentious time for union talks. In March, Los Angeles Unified School District campuses closed, leaving more than 400,000 students without classes as service workers striked to demand improved wages and working conditions. In Hollywood, the Writers Guild has authorized a strike as negotiations continue, though a strike has yet to happen. The UAW is a massive union with huge implications for Michigan as the nation's auto capital. Here with me to break it all down is the auto man himself, coordinating producer for Automotive News, and my old co-host, Jake Neer.
Hey, Shayna. It's so good to be back.
So give us the broad strokes of the UAW negotiations. Where are we at right now, and what's the timeline that we're looking at?
So negotiations actually kick off later this year in the fall, but it's a big moment for the UAW because the union has all new leadership. They just finished up their leadership elections. It was the first time that the union decided that it would have a direct election from the members instead of having delegates decide who the new leadership would be. And so it was sort of a big experiment. And all of the establishment candidates, the ones that have been there, the incumbents, were ousted by new leadership, people who were sort of insurgency inside the union, people who wanted change, people who were sort of considered reform candidates. And so that really sets up for a different kind of negotiation this year. The new UAW president, Sean Fain, has vowed to be much more aggressive in his approach to labor negotiations with the Detroit Three later this year. And then if you also think about the leadership of the Detroit Three, GM, Stellantis, and Ford, Mary Barra is the only CEO that is still in that position since the Detroit automakers last had this round of negotiations. So there's a pretty good chance of a strike, at least one strike coming up if, you know, Sean Fain is right that, you know, that's going to be a much more aggressive approach this year.
Yeah, talk us through. When you and I first started talking about this, you said that those negotiations will probably lead to at least one major strike. Talk a little bit more about why you think those strikes are inevitable.
I wouldn't say inevitable. Anything could happen, but it's just that the chances are higher this year. Another really interesting factor is that for the first time in decades, the UAW is going to be negotiating with its Canadian counterpart, Unifor, which is a separate union now, used to be under the same umbrella, but now they are separate unions and they're going to be negotiating at the same time. That is going to be a very interesting dynamic that could actually complicate things a lot. So these are some of the most complex negotiations that we've seen in a very long time. New leaders, as I said, and it's going to be interesting to see sort of if the CEOs and other negotiators for the Detroit Three are able to work with these new reform leaders of the UAW in a really productive way, or if it's going to, you know, sort of start really contentiously. Also keep in mind that for the Detroit Three, for all automakers, this supply issues have actually been a boon for their profits. The Detroit Three have been raking in profits for the last couple of years, and the union members are going to want a piece of that. They're going to say, hey, look, you guys are making a lot of money. Let's share the wealth.
What are the impacts or implications of a strike specifically for Michiganders if these strikes do happen?
Well, obviously, a strike is going to affect all of the production here in Michigan. As you mentioned, it's the auto capital of the world. But I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that automotive suppliers make a huge, huge dent in Michigan's economy. If you drive up I-75 in Metro Detroit, Auburn Hills, that area of Metro Detroit, you look right and left and you see supplier after supplier after supplier. They have a ton of employees here, and they contribute a lot to our economy in Michigan. Now, suppliers are at a very, very vulnerable moment right now, and a strike would hit them especially hard. I want to give out a big shout out to my colleague at Automotive News, John Irwin, who did a great piece about this, where he did a lot of reporting on, if you look at 2019, the last time there was a work stoppage, suppliers were just ravaged, and they are in a much more vulnerable position right now because of rising material costs, higher interest rates, tight labor market, and the fact that suppliers are the one aspect of the auto industry that have not benefited the last couple of years from tight supplies and very low inventories. Suppliers are the ones that are suffering right now, and a work stoppage would be especially hard for them.
And we're going to dig more into automotive suppliers in just a minute, but first, I wanted to ask you about unions in general. As I mentioned at the top, we're seeing a lot of contentious union negotiations lately, especially with schools and university employees, creative professionals like writers. For full disclosure, I am a member of the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, and also publishing employees. There was recently the HarperCollins union talks. Why do you think we're seeing this right now?
Well, I think probably has a lot to do with what I mentioned already, that a lot of corporations are making a lot of money at the moment, and the workers at those in those companies are not feeling the benefits that they see or perceive from the top. So that's my personal feeling, is that that has a lot to do with why we're seeing a lot of these contentious negotiations. Also, just the fact that the labor movement is having a moment right now, you know, that so many new places are organizing, you know, the big ones, Amazon warehouses, Starbucks, I think that people who are in unions see that they have some leverage right now. They have some wind in their sails. There's a lot of energy around what they're doing. And so I think they feel like they have more power to go to the table and say, look, show us that we matter. And also keep in mind that staffing is still tough for a lot of places. So that is another piece of leverage. That's a lever that unions can pull, that, okay, so what are you going to do if we decide to walk off the job? You know, you're already having a tough time staffing up. This is some power that we have in our pockets to negotiate better terms and better conditions.
I also wonder if it doesn't have anything to do with just sort of like the recent civic activism surge that we have been seeing over the last few years. You know, outside of union negotiations, you know, 2020, there were many protests about different civil rights topics. I think people in general seem to be a bit more motivated over the last few years to take that sort of individual and collective action to try and change things.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge right now. I mean, there's just a lot of energy in the air right now. So much is changing. And I think that there are a lot of people who think, yeah, if we're going to exercise our power and our energy to do this, this is the time to do it. There hasn't been a better time in recent memory in their minds to take action.
Jake, recently the right to work law was repealed by the state capitol. Is that going to play a role, do you think, in the upcoming UAW negotiations?
Possibly. If it leads short term to more people paying dues to the UAW, it could help their coffers a little bit as they go into this period, which could give them maybe a little bit of a boost. But I think that the sort of effects of repealing right to work are probably going to be more long term than short term. But it is another win for the UAW that they can point to and say, look, you know, here's another reason why the wind is in our sails. Now, also keep in mind, although Michigan is, as we've talked about a couple times, sort of the capital of the auto industry of the world, it is just one state. So, you know, there are many workers in other states that are, you know, that are still under right to work conditions there. So it's just one state, but it is sort of a moral victory more than anything, I think, for the UAW and its leadership.
So let's talk about those automotive suppliers. We're seeing huge problems with supply chains in other industries. What's the state of automotive suppliers?
Those supply chain issues seem to be slowly but surely easing at the moment. Now, knock on wood, right? We don't want to jinx anything, but it does seem like this year is sort of the time that a lot of automakers and a lot of suppliers and retailers see that their inventories are going to start rising a little bit and start easing, getting back to that normal period. But there are certain things that could really throw a wrench, so to speak, into the equation, which, you know, a work stoppage would certainly be one of those things. And so as things get back to quote unquote normal, things are still vulnerable. Things are still pretty fragile right now with the supply chains. But I think in the long term, everything that's gone on the last couple of years will certainly make for a much stronger supply chain in the future. It's going to take a few years until certain facilities, plants, battery manufacturing facilities, that sort of thing, all come online. It takes a long time to build those. But once those are online, you know, taking the long view, supply chains are definitely going to be stronger in the next few years.
Jake, let me ask you this. The check engine light in my car has been on for a very long time. It's a very old car. I would like to be getting a new vehicle, but I have been very hesitant to because lately, the last like year or so, it seems like it's been a terrible time to try to buy a new car. Is that going to be getting better soon? And I guess, should people buy a car now or should we keep waiting?
Oof, man, I hate to give financial advice. That is not my forte, Shane. Now, what I will say is that, for one thing, my check engine light has been on for a while, too. So don't feel alone
in that.
It's
impressive how long you can go with it on.
Right. Do not take this as advice, dear listener. But I would say that in terms of buying a car, it's a mixed bag. It's really tough because inventories are still a little bit tough for a lot of models. So if you want certain, especially like EVs and things like that, then there still might be a wait list. It might be a while before you get it, although that is easing right now. The biggest thing for me is interest rates right now. It is tough. Interest rates are high. Inflation is high. You know, people are still marking up new cars. If you're buying a new car, a lot of people are still paying way over sticker for their cars, like way over sticker for certain models. So you can still find certain deals on cars if you look really hard. What I would say is really do your research and really figure out, you know, what is the best opportunity for me right now. But again, you're not going to avoid high interest rates unless you're paying with cash. So keep that in mind too. And let's see, there was something else I was going to say. Oh, now on the note of, you know, certain deals, keep in mind, you know, Tesla right now, just this week, dropped prices for some of its most affordable models, affordable in quotes, for the sixth time this year. There is an EV price war going on, and Tesla is leading the way. So there are certain companies that are dropping their prices right now. So again, it's a really complex market right now for buyers. So do your research if you're going to get a new car.
Jake, you used to be a Capital reporter. You used to co-host this show. What are some things that you are keeping an eye on, both at the state Capitol and at your current job in the automotive news? What are some things that have got you intrigued?
On a purely sort of state political level, just the fact that, you know, Democrats have a trifecta now in Lansing is incredibly interesting to me. There have been just some huge pieces of legislation coming through the Capitol from, you know, the years long process of adding protections for LGBTQ plus folks in the state, so that they are now part of the state's civil, they are covered under the state civil rights law, a huge piece of legislation, reproductive rights. you know, repealing right to work, something that we've talked about many times on the show, Shayna. You know, that's huge. Yeah, I think I remember you asking me whether I thought that would be as sort of raucous at the Capitol when they do repeal right to work, if and when. And I said, oh, I think it's going to be pretty quiet because, you know, people won't be, you know, business groups won't come out in big force. What I didn't factor in is that the unions would send people to the Capitol to cheer them on. I should have thought of that one because the Capitol was packed that day. I know, but the mood was very different because it wasn't a protest per se. It was more a celebration for union folks that the state was the first to repeal a right to work law in decades. So, you know, every week it's something historic coming out of Lansing in terms of changing the policies here in Michigan. And I think it's just fascinating to watch.
Jake Neer is coordinating producer for Automotive News and my old co-host here on Mishmash. Jake, it is always so delightful to have an excuse to have you back here.
Anytime, Shayna. Seriously, anytime.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, and our podcast interns are Ashley Harris, Patrick Burness, and Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this podcast and you want to support it, and we really hope you do, you can do so by leaving us a review, or you can also support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. Everything that you give is really vital to helping WDET support programs like this one. Again, that's wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week. We'll